So I thought, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. And what? Yes. Why will I have joy and be glad in it? One reason is it's because you made it here today. Okay. Isn't that good? I think that that's great because we woke up this morning because we've still got an assignment to do. That's why we're still here. There's still an assignment to be done. And we know, which is another reason to rejoice, that God is in charge. No matter how everything looks, God is in charge. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord God, we come before you so thankful. Thankful, Lord, that we can experience joy. The joy of you coming, the joy that you're already here, the joy of your salvation, Lord, is ours. We thank you, God. Everybody here needs something different from you. Ask that you speak to each and every heart and that we can feel the joy that can only come from you. We pray this all and ask for a blessing on all that is said and done. May it be done in your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right. Happiness, joy. You know, I like to start with a definition. Joy, to experience great pleasure or delight. That's joy. Rejoice, to feel. Rejoicing is like this, to feel joy, to feel great joy or delight. There's that word again, delight. It just seems so light to me to say delight. Seems like there should be something bigger than that. So places we can find joy. Think about this. A secure knowledge of God is a place we can find joy. When you're secure in knowing who God is, there's joy there. Rejoicing in God's works. We can find joy there by rejoicing in the works that we've seen him do, the works of his hand, the works of nature, as Charlene likes to do, go out and see nature. And she finds joy in that. A covenant of faithfulness. By being faithful, we find joy. Kind of hard sometimes, though, isn't it? We find joy in the favor from God. When God grants us favor, so we, my family's had joy this week because of my brother-in-law, Tommy. We felt that joy. The joy is always there, but there are sometimes when it bubbles to the surface when God shows his favor. When we are in a state of well-being, don't you feel joy when you feel good? I know I do. When we have, when we are being blessed, we feel joy. And also we find joy in the fact that we are created in the image of God. The Bible talks about joy and happiness interchangeably, okay? Sometimes used. However, the Bible defines joy as happiness over a present or unanticipated good. Joy is rooted in who God is, and it doesn't only exist in good circumstances. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. So we're going to be looking at Psalm 16, verses 1 through 11. I'm going to read the whole passage, and then we're going to just dig into that a little so you can walk away with a little something. I know you're not going to remember everything, but if you can grab a thing or two, it's going to be great. Let's read. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. There's that word again. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad. And my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul in Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Amen. In this passage, the psalmist uses three different Hebrew names. Whenever you're in the Old Testament, it's Hebrew. Whenever you're in the New Testament, it's the Greek. So that you know, because we get these words and we only have them translated in English, right? So every time they say God, we're thinking just God, just God, just God, just God. But he's showing the sovereignty of God. And this is David wrote this psalm, although I read. It's attributed to David, but it's still anonymous. So they're not sure that it was David because of the time that it was written and because of the language that was used. I said, I didn't want to blow your mind with that, but I thought I'd blow Bob's mind with that. Okay. So for all intents and purposes, we're going to say David, because these things are, this is what David would say. This is what he would say, even if he used another type of lingo, it's basically the same. So he used the Elohim, Yahweh, and Adonai every time that he spoke about who God is. Three different ones. He's writing in a time of trouble, or he's writing at a time of praise too. But even in a time of trouble, he can still rejoice. It's not despair or a complaint that you hear in that, is it? Because what I hear is it's a settled joy. No matter how crazy things may seem, I'm settled on joy. In spite of my circumstance, my confidence is in the Lord. Can we say that? In verse 2, he says, I am no good apart from you. I have nothing good besides you. Have we come to a point in our lives where we know that? Are we still struggling to muster up our own joy and happiness, thinking that if I just did this, I'd be happy? And then you get that and you're not happy. I told you about that dress that I really, really wanted a lot. And I borrowed money to get it. This is when I was a teenager. I never tried the dress on. I just thought I'd be so cute in it. And I got that dress and it was awful. I didn't get it. I ordered it, right? No, I went to the store, and when I tried it on, I went through all that trouble and I didn't even like it when it was on me. Have you ever had that happen where it was something that you desperately wanted and you finally got it and it wasn't what you needed nor wanted at all? A settled joy. He says, or my wonder is our God your ultimate joy? Is he your ultimate treasure? Do we rejoice in him? Do we rejoice in the Lord? Or is it just something we do on Sunday and forget about it the rest of the week? Understanding we have one source as we are believers. We have one source. And everything else is a resource. Can we understand that, especially during difficult times? And I think some people in here have gone through some difficult times, and some may be going through some difficult times right now. But the joy of the Lord is where I rejoice, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. First, David delights in God, and then he delights in the things that God cares about. When he said, those people that are important to God are important to him also. Can we do that? Knowing that God loves everyone. Is that important to you? And I say it all the time, or is it this one I can love because they think like me, they act like me, they're respectful? Or can we love the most difficult of those to love? that love. When it happens, he said, when this happens, when we like take on other gods, remember that portion in there where he talked about, I'm not going to do what they do because they're going to be real sorrowful because they're taking on something else as their God. They're going to be real sorrowful taking on something else as their God. And he said, I'm not going to do that. That communion is going to be good and ready. Thank you, Gail. That's okay. We still love you. When we put other gods before God, what are we doing? We're robbing God of his glory. We're robbing God of his glory. And we think about it. It also will bring grief to those who practice it. You know, you see people get into a situation and you know what they're doing in their lives. You expect this to turn out right? It's not going to turn out right. How can it? You're going against everything that really you know to do. How's it going to turn out right? It may turn out right for a second, and there may even be a twinge of happiness for a while. But a settled joy? And we wonder why we keep searching for it in things and people. A settled joy only comes from God. We look at when we're not robbing God of his glory and bringing grief to ourselves with idols that is anything we put before God. Do you put Facebook before God? I know that's silly, but do you put money before God? Do you put a particular person before God? Our love is great for people, isn't it? But God said, don't put anybody before me. I'm going to take care of all that for you. And then some. And then some. If you think about it, the Levites were the only Israelites who received a portion, no portion of the promised land. The Levites received no portion of the promised land. You want to know why? Instead, they received the promise of serving him in the tabernacle and the temple. The Lord himself was their inheritance. The Lord himself was their inheritance. I would like that. I like stuff too. I admit it. But if the Lord himself will be my inheritance, awesome. Think about how David received all that David received from the Lord. But David's inheritance was also the Lord himself. David put God first. David messed up more than once. David was a man after God's own heart because God knows we're going to mess up. But he's looking for that repentant attitude because I have a settled joy. I put God first. He rejoiced in the Lord and had great joy knowing God. And the material blessings were a bonus. Material blessings are a bonus to praising God. He honors you before your enemies when you put him first. He gives you things no one else can get. I remember, Beverly, when everybody got let go at your job but you. That's the God I serve. This happens to everybody, but God saw fit for it not to happen to me. Because I choose to put him first. That's just a side note. That's a side product. A little something extra. He said, here, I'm going to bless you because you put me first. Anybody need a blessing? We see gratitude. And he was grateful in verses 7 and 8 to take refuge in God's presence. Put God first. There was a standing and security that could not exist unless you put God first. That's when you can walk into the boss and you can say what needs to be said in a respectful manner. Because you put God first. I will not fear what man will try to do to me. I heard my mother say once, don't play with me. Because the God I serve will not tolerate what you're trying to do. It's in his presence we find joy. To experience joy, we need to stay in his presence. We need to stay in his presence, not just come into his presence on Sunday or Saturday or whatever day we choose. If we want to experience joy, stay in his presence. Put him first. Wake up with a thank you, Lord. Go to work and sit at your desk with a thank you, Lord. You don't have to be on your knees. Thank you, God. Thank you that I didn't tell off this boss today. Thank you that these kids didn't get on my nerves at school today. Oh, they did, but thank you, Lord, that I made it through. Thank you, Lord. I've said, I have prayed in front of the kids like, oh, Jesus, just help me. They said, oh, Jesus, just help her. I'm like, you know, I need it. For those who do not commit to joy, it's a case of saying sometimes it costs too much to follow God. Oh, everything is going to be taken away. All this fun stuff I do will be taken away. The cost is too much. Well, grace is costly. And Jesus Christ paid that price for us. It is a costly grace. It is not a cheap grace. It is costly to follow God, but it's so worth it. In your presence, Lord, there's abundance of joy. When you say the word abundance, anybody wants some abundance? It's overflowing. Abundant joy, overflowing. Jesus is joy. Jesus brings joy. Jesus gives joy. I don't think we can muster up this feeling of joy on our own because we try. If I just try hard enough, I'll have enough faith and joy and I'll feel it and I'm joyful, Lord. Can't you see it in my face? The joy of the Lord. Thank you. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So there will be weeping, but there will be joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Maybe you're going to have to repeat that to yourselves. Now I'm going to talk about some barriers real quick to joy. Barriers, lack of faith, you worry. Doesn't that stomp all over your joy? Thinking you can muster up enough joy on your own. Sorry, we can't. Walking outside of his will and walking outside of your assignment. I'm walking outside of my assignment. My assignment is not to start this ministry over here. My assignment is to do this. When I walk outside my assignment, all I am is frustrated. No joy. Holding on to things that you should let go of. This is bringing me joy. No, it's just what we're used to. Letting the enemy get a foothold into your life, forgetting that his deal is, I'm here to kill, steal, and destroy. Anytime he gets a foothold, he's going to just come right in and have a good old time at your expense. He is not for you. He does not like that you love the Lord. And he will do everything he can to block you from getting closer to God. And then the other way that we is a barrier to joy is taking your eyes off of him and looking at the problem instead of looking at him. Remember the boat, the storm? When he's walking across the water, Peter's walking across the water, takes his eyes off God. First, he was walking across the water. Who else got 2-3 steps in before they realize there is a storm? And then they start drowning. but had enough faith to keep his eyes on God. 3 steps, then he took his eyes off. Shh. I'm walking on water. It's not possible. That's why it's so important as a church, as we move forward, to keep our eyes on God and not think about what we want, but think about what he wants. I was just talking to someone last night who talked about a church that got a new pastor, and the pastor changed everything when they came in. Oh, no, we're not doing that anymore. Oh, no, 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 no. They went from 800 people to 200 people. My thing is this. When you think it's all about you, he's going to show you it's not. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about him. So how do we apply this week? Hold on to your joy in these present circumstances, whatever they may be for you. Don't allow any of those barriers to get in your way, and realize that's a barrier. My attitude changing is a barrier. Lord, take this attitude away from me. Let me experience the joy of your salvation. Let me experience all that you want me to have, Lord. We celebrate joy. We celebrate the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on Christmas. We're preparing the way. We're experiencing the joy because he is the one who is joy, and he is the one that gives joy. And what he gives, no man can take away. Amen. John 15:11 says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. In Jesus' name, amen. That brings us to communion. I was thinking about on Sister Act 2. Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore thee. Thank you. God of glory, Lord of love, hearts unfold like flowers before thee. Hail thee too as the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness. Drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. Lauren Hill was like, fill us with the light of day. If you haven't seen it, see it. I do a comparison between Beethoven's Ode to Joy when I tell the kids, teach them about Beethoven. And then I show them, joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore thee. To see a difference, how you can take that old song that Beethoven wrote from his, what number symphony, everybody? Nope. Okay. Education, 9th symphony. It was his very last symphony. He was completely deaf when he wrote it. But the music was so ingrained in his head that he used to walk around. People thought he was crazy. He was such a rock star, though, of his time. Princes and would come and invite him to their house for dinner. He'd go like this. I don't have time for that. Tell him Beethoven has no time for that. He was really full of himself. But he had a terrible childhood. His father used to wake him up in the middle of the night to practice because he wanted him to be like Mozart. This is your history lesson. Mozart was a child prodigy. And Beethoven couldn't be like Mozart, but Beethoven was still a genius. And when he wrote Joyful, Joyful, and it was sung in German, really it was 1907, those words came out. Sorry, too much history, I know. But when he sang that song, when they sang that song, it was sung in German. It was all about God back then. I pray that it's all about God with us right now, right? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you are a giver of good things. And Lord, sometimes you let us go through other things in our lives just to let us know, hey, I'm here and I've got you. And those are times that we draw closer to you. As we take this communion today, Lord, we recognize you as King. That's all we're just basically we're saying. We recognize who you are, Lord, that you sent your son to die for us, that all you died for all of us. And all we need to do is say, I accept that. I accept that. And then walk in it as best we can. Each day we're growing. So as we take communion today, we ask that you transform our hearts, transform our minds, transform us, Lord, to be more like you each day. We thank you for this communion. And as often as we do it, we remember how you died for us. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The body of Christ. The blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. Amen.